All right. Good evening. Welcome, everybody. For those who join in over the internet through BBS Radio, thank you for being here. We have a bunch of people on the phone line, on the conference call, and I welcome everybody. And we had more people join in. It's still 40 hour. We had more people join in on the phone line. If they name a location. Welcome to the next caller. If you want to, please say your name and location.
David in Tennessee.
I hear David in Tennessee. Hi, David. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
And I believe I heard somebody else in the background. Welcome also. If you want to, please say your name and location.
Gary in Redondo Beach.
Good evening, Gary. How are you doing?
Great.
All right. How is the energy level? Are you okay?
It's coming up.
All right. Good. More people joined in. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
This is Mary Lou from Tennessee.
Hello, Mary Lou. Welcome to the call. How are you doing?
Thank you. Just fine. How are you doing?
Doing well. Thank you for being here. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hey, it's Chris in Memphis.
Good evening, Chris. How are you doing?
Hey, hi. Doing good, man.
All right. Thank you for being here. More people joined in. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
John from Aspen, Colorado.
Yeah, hi, John. Welcome to the call. How are you doing?
I'm great. Thank you.
All right. And more people joined in. If you want to, please say your name and location. No, Sean, you have been with us before, right? Or is the first time?
No, I have. I have been in the past. But,
right.
Yeah.
Well, welcome.
Hi, Susan in Delaware. How you doing?
Hello. Welcome from Delaware. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
And more people joined in. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi. This is Daphne in Hudson Bay, California.
Daphne, good evening. How are you doing?
I'm okay. Hi, how are you?
All right. Left to you, my friend. Thank you for being here.
You too.
All right.
All right, giggity. Daphne's here.
We had more people join in. If you want to, please say your name and location. Well, we welcome you all. We have a nice group of people here. I can feel the energy. Thank you all for being here. And we are, in the meantime, live on BBS Radio.
Can you tell how many people are on live? Do you have a number there?
I think a couple of million is my guess.
Good guess. Be nice.
I don't know how many people are on, to be honest.
You don't have a statistic there in front of you?
I do. But I don't believe it.
Oh.
Hey, Heis, how are you feeling after your electric shock?
Yeah, you know what? Good, I believe.
Good.
Although my arm is still swollen. We had more people join in. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Rosalie in Huntsville.
Hi, Rosalie. Welcome to the call.
Thank you. How are you doing?
Doing well. Thank you for being here.
Heis, do you have some sort of a healing wand?
Yes.
Is it a crystal or?
No, it's stainless steel with, I guess, they put some stuff inside. I don't know what's inside.
Yeah, I saw it. It was on the web. I looked at it a little bit. Something like that.
There's a guy in Sedona. He sells those things. Mm-hmm. His name is.
Hey! Is the wand of horrors?
Hi, Lori from Santa Fe.
Good evening, Lori. Welcome to the call. Do you have? You happen to have a dog?
Oh, that's me, guys.
Okay. just feel protected.
Chris, does your dog look like Mick Jagger?
No, more like Johnny Rotten from the Sex Pistols.
Don't people and their dogs start looking alike after a while?
No.
Good friend.
Now, I wonder what that does to your DNA, huh, Joel? Hi.
Sir.
Is Terry on the line?
I see her line being active. Yes, I do. I have not heard her. Terry, are you here?
I'm here. Hi.
Hello.
There.
Hi, Terry.
I'm trying to stay muted so I don't get the hum right now.
Okay. Well, we don't hear a hum. Maybe it's okay.
You don't hear a hum?
No hum.
No? Things are
okay.
It's 6:04. We are live on BBS Radio. I welcome all those who are joining over the internet, and I thank BBS Radio. And we're in 6:04. Daphne is with us. Thank you for being here, Daphne.
Hi, Daphne.
Thank you. Hi, Wynn. Hi, Terry.
Hi, Daphne.
Hey, let's all send loving energy and gratitude to Terry and Daphne.
Yeah.
Are you guys ready? Let's do it.
Hi, Daphne.
Hi, Daphne.
Hi, Daphne.
Hi, Daphne.
Hi,
Terry. Hi, Mr. Wynn.
Hi, Terry.
Hi.
Terry and Daphne.
Hello,
Terry and Daphne.
Hi, Tom.
I win.
Carla on?
Carla's not on, no. Carla doesn't usually come on to our Wednesday call. But, no, we're probably the only radio show that never officially starts. People turn on to BBS and no one says, okay, now there's music and here is the show. It's like we kind of flow into it.
This conference is being recorded.
I like that. I thought, I better start recording. Okay. Well, this is...
Muted.
Today is the end of July, July 31st, 2013. Another day in the middle of what some people call a shift. And, you know, a couple of years ago, they said we'd be rocking and rolling. And I think we are. And I thank you all who are coming into these calls and supporting this energy. And... I thank all of you who signed up in that new email list I created. And you know what? That takes a lot of stress off of me. I can't tell you, but, you know, every time I send the emails out to a group, if you've never done it, is an experience unto itself. Because, you know, we have thousands of people we send emails out to, and it runs the gamut. There are people that get annoyed and say, oh, geez, there's another email from that guy, Wynn, and eventually they unsubscribe. Although we have low flow, which meant they could get occasional emails, and that helped a little bit. But this idea of just, you know, there's hundreds of you that are paying attention to our conference calls, and soon to be millions, okay, or hundreds of thousands. And it's like you guys are the backbone of this energy. And it's like kind of like by making that new list, it separates you out. So I can send emails. See, when I send an email out to the whole list, I feel the energy of the whole list. So there's people, I feel people getting annoyed. I feel people saying, great, I'm so glad to get this email. But I feel it all at the same time. So every time I send an email out, I have to be a little bit self-conscious so that I can reach everybody. So it's really nice to have a list of people that I know are reaching back, and that those of you that got on that list, it means that I can send all kinds of special things and not worry about it, because I know you're in resonance, at least most of you, with the work, and it's not like I'm trying to prove myself. When we first started doing emailings, the very first time, it's like, how do you start? What are people going to believe this? Are they going to think I'm nuts? am I going to have fundamentalist Christians picketing my door? You know, who knows? This is a real world. And, you know, we're creating something from nothing, really. And I have to say, I have been very perseverant. And you who are showing up are a great feeling of accomplishment that we have the ability to serve you. And you serve, well, really, I don't even want to use that terminology. To me, if I put it in simple words, we are anchoring a new energy on this planet. And I'm sure we're not the only ones that are anchoring it, but we're one of the only ones who are doing it so publicly. You see, it's easy to do this in a private room where you're charging people. You know, when you charge people, you know they're interested. When people are interested, it's safer. And you can, you know, you don't have to feel like you're going to get rejected or unsubscribed any moment. When you're doing it in a public way, it's taken the energy of building support for the energy. Because in the highest aspect of what we're doing, it's not the information. Yes, the information can be very helpful. Very often, there's a point of wisdom that relates particularly to you. It doesn't relate to most other people. It connects to a few people. And suddenly, you shift. You pull a plug. Something changes because of that. And then there's our group energy experiences. And doing it publicly like this is really, really unusual. And all of you who keep coming to these calls and holding the space, you know, deserve special kudos because you're not anonymous. Now you're not even less anonymous. You're not anonymous because these sources can look at you. Now we have an email list of you, and we know who you are, and we can address that in a more personal way. So we'll see how that's going to unfold. And I'm not going to talk. Oh, one more thing. Saturday, we're going to do another workshop with Carla. And after our Monday call, if you didn't listen to it, it was pretty extraordinary because it was mostly me presenting it. But Carla was there. And I was going through some of the research things I found that connected Ra and Jesus. And probably was the most astounding one was the session I read that I did with Daphne in 2003 when I just asked directly, when Jesus said, Father, who answered? And the sources said through Daphne, as you would know it, Ra. Now, again, I am not of the predisposition to believe anything, nor should you be. You know, all of these things need to be validated in one way or another, and I did try to validate it. And on Monday, I was going through all the things I did to validate it with Carla, because Carla never, I don't know if that ever occurred to her, or if it did, it was a scary, well, you know, here you are channeling the Ra group, and who wants to be channeling it? You can understand from a diplomatic point of view why they wouldn't go out of their way to say that, and they wouldn't go out of their way to be recognized as that. That would be have negative consequences, because it would seem as if you are tempting people to give up their power, because you're dealing with such a huge and influential icon of spiritual evolution in our realm, and that so many people have their own unique and specific way of connecting with that icon. And, you know, it doesn't mean that they're not doing it. They very well could be doing it, and it's working for them. We're talking about people that actually use religion in the right way, or in the highest way. So no one would look forward having, you know, a source say, yes, we are the one. But I kept finding pieces of evidence. And that would mean that Edgar Cayce, who, again, this is me, not Carla, was also connecting with the rock group, and was also, you know, Cayce believed his source was the Christ. But who knows that, you know, the Christ is another one of those words that, you know, it's kind of a catch-all. But nonetheless, Cayce was a fundamentalist, and he believed his source was the Christ. And then, you know, we come in to, well, without going into any more talk about this, Carla agreed that we were going to continue that whole topic on the Saturday workshop. Not so much from my research, but, well, I'm going to send a notice out and recommend that everyone listen to the Monday call. If they didn't, I'll put a link to it, because we're going to assume that everybody listened who came to the workshop. And then we're going to research the raw material and find everything that was said, at least in the course of 3 hours, about Jesus and Christ, those two words. And it will be a very unusual and exciting call. And, of course, it's amazing to do this with Carla, because for most of Carla's life, she has been Christian. You've heard her. She attends church. She thinks of Jesus having a personal connection with her. And, you know, I had been putting this stuff together since 2003, and I never dared even share it with Carla. It was a little bit, how should I say it? I mean, I thought she might be offended whatever. So we finally shared it on Monday. I had a conversation with her a couple weeks before, so I didn't catch her off guard. And she was giving the research I had done a lot of, how would you say, credit, okay? So this is going to be a really exciting workshop on Saturday. Anything could happen, and usually does. So on that note, Terry, you're there?
Yes.
Nope. Okay.
I'm here.
Are you ready?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Who
are
just
there
said
any
yes?
Possible? Yes.
You're never ready, right?
Right.
Are you in as a moderator? You a moderator,
yes.
Tonight?
Okay. Yes.
Okay. One more thing about the workshop. You know, we have suggested donations. It's your first time on that $25, and you get the whole audios of all five workshops previous. It's an incredible deal, $28. And, no, 28 hours. And if you're a repeat, you get the current one we're doing live for $20. And if you're tight on money, you can put in your own amount. Those are our suggested donations. But you can put in as low as $5 and get everything. And don't be proud, because this is life-changing stuff. And don't be cheap, because we need the money. But don't be proud if you're low, because now we're getting some static from your turn. Okay. All right, on that note, let me open up all our questions for today. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround, protect, carry myself, Daphne, and everyone on this line, and any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe, through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us and create a protected space that only the positive has access to. And anything not of that nature must leave now. And the sources want to give us an introductory greeting.
We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. We are here this 31st day of July, 2013, and we are delighted to sense, feel everyone on the line, and we are delighted that Daphne is on the line, and we are available to you 24/7. All you have to do is ask. Do you have questions? This is Ra'an.
Yeah, I'm gonna throw off the first question here, and it has to do with candles. Throughout history, people have used candles in sacred ceremonies, in churches, in the Jewish people use them by the Ark. People use them for romance, to create moods in restaurants. And I once heard somebody say that candles help clear energy. And they clear, the way they described it is there was this cobweb of energy that sticks in the environment. And when you light a candle, it purifies it. And so I was going to ask the question, could you comment on that? And share with us how we could use candles ourselves to lift our spirits.
Thank you. When you have the burning of the flame in the psychic space of the individual, the burning, the shifting, raising the frequency of the candle fire raises the frequency in the area and does burn up some of the negative energy that can be in the space. So when you have a candle and you wish to change the mood, you wish to clear energy, it is good to light a candle. Pay attention to the candle material. Some are fragrant, some are not. Some are heavy, and some are not. So pay attention to the candle material so that it also is of a light quality.
Is there any benefit to staring into the candle, to releasing negative things in yourself by staring into the candle? I've heard people say that.
it can help to release some of the energies that are within that the person may be going through and help to shift the person.
Thank you. Next question here is from Margaret. Now, Margaret, I think we're going to ask this on Saturday, okay? Or we'll cover it. Her question is aside that all are one, is it useful for me as a dweller of planet Earth, present, to regard the light being, a portion of which last incarnation on the planet was Jesus, as permanent to the solar system, this galaxy, or this universe?
Could you repeat this? This is not coming through clearly.
Okay, let me reword it. And she's asking the importance of regarding the one known as Jesus, Jeshua, as pertinent to this solar system, this galaxy, and this universe in this particular time. You know, my comment is, for many people, there's a connection. And when we've asked this before, they have said that Jesus is paying attention to people on this planet, and that he can hear the callings of people and respond. And so if you have an affinity with that, if you're one of those that has an inner connection, that has a track record historically, then it's definitely a tool that can help you, okay? But on that note, let me just turn it over to our sources. That was my take, okay? Now, I'll let them give their take.
Thank you. In connection with Jesus, there is the Trinity, and when one is connected, when one connects themselves to the Trinity, they are able to pull in assistance, to connect with assistance, to bring themselves protection, to bring themselves tools of calming themselves, of setting aside stress when one taps into this. And when you do, you are heard by the Trinity. And the Trinity does very important job in working with the people who are so connected.
Thank you. Dave Groh asks, some scientists seem to have evidence that a magnetic pole shift is likely possibility for the Earth. Is that true? And are higher sources working to mitigate the damage a magnetic pole shift could cause? And same question regarding the Fukushima crisis.
Thank you. We do work and light workers who are asking, and the higher sources, not only us, are working to ease some of the damages that have been caused. Some of the damages we are not able to change as they are becoming ingrained into the structure of the whoop and warp of the Earth. Some changes have started concerning a pole shift in the changes being anomalies in the magnetic field in the South Pacific pole shifts take quite a while, although they can, on the other hand, the poles can flip quickly in some circumstances. However, in this case, the poles within the South Pacific have begun to have show some magnetic anomalies. We would not be worried about this in the near future.
Can hear you, Wynn.
I'm sorry. Next question. This person did not give their city, and it's a personal question. So I think I'm going to leave out their name. But I have enough internet exchange that I think I can hold the energy for it. If their sources would rather wait till I get a city than we can defer it. But it's a woman that had, whose initial is C, who had been previously married and really loved her husband. And he was an alcoholic and he wouldn't stop drinking. And so she left him. And she still yearns for him in spite of the fact that she's in another relationship. And, the way she worded her question, will we get back together any time in this life? And, of course, that's not exactly an appropriate question because there's too much free will choice. So I would ask the question is, how can this woman cope with a situation with this yearning for someone that she really feels a connection with? And at the same time, she is in a relationship with someone else that she probably doesn't feel a connection with.
Thank you. We suggest that the last part of that sentence may not be true, that we take a moment and we look at the ties. When one has lived with a person for a number of years and has gotten close psychically, energetically to another person, then there is a relationship between the two that provides some of the needs that the person has. And the person does not wish to, or it finds it impossible to totally shut off their feelings and then go into a second relationship without thinking longingly of the first person. It takes time for that longing to be supplanted with the aspects of fulfillment that they can find from the second relationship. The day-to-day connection of the second relationship provides some of the fulfillment that a person needs also, and it is hard to give that up, and particularly when the first relationship has ended upon the ultimatum that was not carried out. We take a look further we see several levels of connection. One of them is the connection in the physical universe, but the behind that also is the connection in the astral. And there is still a connection between this woman and her first husband. We do not make a prediction about whether you will get back to kill her. We have outlined some of the things that are happening here, and we see that there are a couple of ways that this could go. One of them would be to stay with a second relationship and to work hard on bringing aliveness to the relationship. Yet, when that is mentioned, there is the longing for the first relationship. So, within this picture, we see still all of the things that were put into play originally, the stops on the continuing of the first relationship, and they have not been, the stops are still there. So it is preventing the continuation of the first relationship.
In a situation like this, if she in fact left her present relationship and that created hurt for that partner, would that create karma?
Yes, it can create karma. And if she went back to the first relationship, then these same problems would need to be overcome that she experienced previously there.
Thank you.
So, hang in there and work with the energies and go day by day and see what you can do to make each moment better.
Thank you. Dave Ferringer in Grove City, Pennsylvania, and her sister Cindy have a father who died. And I would imagine their father was a fairly funny fellow and humorous fellow. And the question is, does humor exist in other realms? And if it does, is Dad, I'll get it out. Is Dad making you guys laugh? Makes me laugh. Go ahead.
Yes, humor does exist in other realms. And once a person, when they pass over to the other realm, they do not leave their personality and they do not leave their humor behind. And they still have the ability, if the individuals have the ability to sense it, the individual who has passed on has the ability to come forward and to speak with the humor that they had when they were alive. And they are feeling fine.
Thank you. Let me see here. This is from Colleen in Vancouver. Oh, I can't ask it. Forget it. She asked me to ask it anonymously, so I'll have to ask it. Submit it again next week, and I'll remember not to say your name, and everyone will forget what this question was. Okay. Next question is from Michael. I don't think I'm going to take the time for that. I mean, it's about Michael Snyder. He wants to know about Atlanteans that settled in Turkey. And let's see here. This is from Darren. And he asks, if one is trying to introduce new ideas, say in a particular scientific field, and it is very likely that the mainstream of science will not accept them, what is the best way to still get these ideas out to the public that is open to the new ideas and new energies? Do sources recommend any particular media or channels for these types of communications? Now, I want to make a comment, Darren. You know, if one has a new idea that's radical, that it could improve the quality of life, like a free energy machine, in my opinion, the best way to put it out is to give it away for free. We need it, and if you try to make money on it, it'll probably get grabbed up. You know, it's like in doing this work, which has certainly got a lot of new ideas in it, I found that I had to build everything myself and keep looking for where there was resonance. I mean, I kept asking our sources, tell me what to do. I think this is important. What should I do? And they said talk to one person at a time, and eventually it'll get legs. That's the answer in 2004. And that's what I did. I just kept talking about it and talking about it. And if you have something that is of real value, find who you're supposed to talk to about it. Just keep talking. I don't know if that's your best advice, but let me turn it over to our sources and see what they say. Thank you.
Thank you. That is very valid. What Lynn has said. Also, you may find niches where individuals within that particular niche would have an interest in what you are bringing forth. And you might even put something into print about it to see what kind of a response you might get from anybody. But make it, give enough clues that somebody might reach to you to seek more information, plus speaking to individual one at a time, one individual at a time. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a good idea, running it in certain kinds of magazines, newspapers, little advertisements, you know, just see who reaches back. The key to everything is people reaching back. People reaching back is energy gets anchored here.
Yes, bringing it possibly to a fair or an expo and just seeing who stops by the booth.
And you got to be willing to do a lot of stuff for nothing if you believe in what you're doing. You know, it's oftentimes people think they've got something really far out or great, and it's going to make a lot of money. But to get to the place where it's anchored and making money, somebody's got to keep shaking the trees until some fruit falls. Okay, thank you. Next question. This is from Caleb Hutzler, who was listening to our calls the last weeks when we're talking about the Anunnaki and their gold mining sortes into this realm, I'll just read his question. I find the raw material extremely useful and enjoy your show and appreciate everything you have done for people around the world, including me, but I've never been able to understand one thing. Why would super advanced people from space need to mine gold from here to repair the atmosphere of their home planet? Now, we have never, on our cult, validated that that's why they were mining gold, but that's what other people have said. there definitely was a mining of gold, and the reason is still, in my mind, not completely known. And it apparently is important to them. And so why would they need to mine gold here, disrupting us in the process? Now, Caleb, keep in mind, they didn't disrupt us because there was no us. We were a result of their genetic experiments. So if they didn't go through all that they did, we wouldn't be here. Now, some people said, geez, that would have been better than being here. But we're all on an evolutionary track now. And we exist as separate, evolving souls. And then you'd have to say, would I not want to exist at all? Because that was the beginning of our existence. And why would they disrupt us in the process when they could just as easily mine it from asteroids or other planets where no one is living, using their super technology, or even possibly make gold themselves using that technology? Why would they need to make us slaves to mine it for them instead? It doesn't make sense. Thanks.
Thank you. At the time, there was very little population on the Earth plane. The Earth had previously areas of civilization and other areas where the civilization has nearly died out. So when the gold miners came, 450,000 years ago, they had, Yanunaki had a space route where the spaceships would travel from planet to planet, much as a ship on Earth would have a trading route that it went through later on in the history. There were trading routes that the flying saucers went through to stop at various stop-off points and planets. On some planets, they displayed their wares that sold them to retailers from the spaceship, and the retailers would then make them available on the local markets. Gold was one commodity that was used extensively for more than one reason. It was used in the manufacture of electronic parts. It was sold as the white powder for the increase of health of individuals and for the development psychically of their upper chakra systems. The trading route stopped at South Africa, and the spaceships, which had the ability to move from the third dimension into the fifth dimension through the cloak of invisibility, they would move into the third density. They would stop at the mining site, and there would be a ring of stones that was set up at the mining site, a very special resonant qualities that would interact with the spaceship and the Earth to gradiently bring the spaceship from the fifth dimension through visibility into the third dimension. And
then once it was on the landing dock, the Circle of Stones, the workers from the mining site would move the gold onto the spaceship, and they would take it in the hold of the spaceship. And then when the gold was loaded, they would then again interact with the spaceship engines and the ring of stones, the resonant ring of stones, to push the spaceship back into the fifth dimension as it would take off and leave. There was, the human population did not exist in large quantities at that time. And so there was an enclave in South Africa where they began to build the beings that were so equipped to move, work in the third density on this planet. The planet had many biological, different biological systems. So they used a combination of ape DNA and Anunnaki DNA to build a, to produce a human being that would be able to work easily in the heat and to survive various bacterial organisms that were in the Earth's sphere. As far as repairing their planet, another planet, there were many uses for gold, among them ornaments, just nuggets were a commodity. White gold powder was a big commodity in some spheres. We do not have information at this time about the repair of a planet's atmosphere using gold. However, there was a project at one time to introduce gold into the atmosphere as sort of an offshoot of the gold, white gold powder, that it was thought if it was a component in an atmosphere, that the population could all benefit from it. Those are our comments.
Thank you. You know what? We're going to do a whole Saturday workshop, probably in the next 4 weeks, where we're going to explore questions that have never been explored before about what actually happened on this episode and with the Anunnaki. So, by the way, if those of you who had heard Michael Challenger, who I quoted, and, you know, if this is interesting, go back to the last two Mondays. Go back to the spiritchannel.net. The last two Mondays, not this Monday, but the previous two Mondays, and we did two shows on this. And, of course, we're getting answers to questions that other people can't get the answers to. Now, I don't tell people to believe our answers. But if it makes sense and it helps you connect, you can listen. Let's see if Daphne's there. Are you there, Daphne? Okay. I was going to invite her to answer a question, but if she holds the space and comes next week, maybe we'll do it. Okay. Last question. It's got to be like a two-minute answer. If our sources can do that, because we're out of time. This is from Dharmananda in Boulder City, Boulder Creek, California. I have healed several people in the last 2 weeks with the Holy Spirit, but I cannot heal myself. Why can't I heal myself?
Thank you. At this moment. When you take a look at what needs to be healed, increase the size of your look so that you are bigger than the problem. You're bigger than the nuisance. You're bigger than the health problem bothering you. So that you can also, by increasing your look and your size, can also connect better with the sources that are able to heal you. We take a moment to help open these channels. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We had a lot more great questions. Keep in mind that if you had a question that I didn't ask, please ask it again next week or the week after, because I like to answer questions when I know the person is going to listen to it. And if somebody keeps asking a question, even a personal question, it makes me feel they have a sense of urgency and commitment to getting the answer. And we can't take all the questions, particularly when I tell people we got room for questions. We're steaming, rolling through them. So we had other good questions tonight that I didn't ask. So please re-ask them next week. And I usually give priority, try to give priority to people that have never asked questions before, people that have urgent situations they're dealing with in their lives, and questions that have the highest relevancy to the most people. But I don't always follow that because sometimes an answer can change somebody's life, and I know that, and I'll ask that question, okay? And on that note, thank you. We love you so much for being here and doing, helping each other do this work, which is so important on our planet right now. And, oh, you might send emails to George Norrie and tell him how amazing the correlation is on the questions we're asking to the Elohim and the added stuff that it's bringing to the Michael Tellinger, Zachariah Sitchin material. Of course, we're not scientific. We can't prove it. So it's just, you have to take it on resonance. But it's George at coasttocoastam.com. Don't tell him to write him. But obviously, it expands the role of what we're doing is in channeling beyond even a lot of, we probably have a lot of interest in it. So on that note, we see you all Sunday morning. If you're here for the first time, Sunday morning call is always the most popular. There's great energy on the line. People feel the energy. Sometimes people have healings. Sometimes depressions go away. So please check out our Sunday calls. Schedule for all our calls is on calendar.intelligent-infinity.com. Or just go to Intelligent-Infinity or the Spirit Channel. And if you go to if you like the energy on these calls, we have hundreds of them up on the Spirit Channel. And they're all different. They all approach things differently. And a lot of people play a lot of them and get a lot out of it. So we'll see you the next time.
Unmuted.
Everybody's muted.
Revolver Nori. Revolver Nori. Choo-choo coming through.
Thank
okay.
you.
We love you, Ron.
Thanks, Winnie Terry.
Thank you so much, you guys.
Thank you, Brother Win.
Thanks, Wynn. Thanks, Terry.
Welcome.
Thanks, Hyde.
Thank you.
We'll see. We'll see you all next time. Thank you.
Hyde, could you hold? I want to test an acoustic tester.
Your conference recording has stopped.